B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
And welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, what would you tell your past self if you got to travel through time? Plus, these guys get to go to SmackDown last night. We're going to talk about it. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with loot boxes.
Oh. Yes!
I'm not kidding. Not a joke. We return full circle to loot boxes, and it seems like there are some companies that are trying to get out in front of this.
Yeah. Oh, are they now?
It's about a year too late in my book, but
yes, they're
better late than never. Thank you,
yes.
Morris.
Yes. And if you don't know what a loot box is, you're out there wondering what it is, ask your kids. They probably do know. But
you've probably spent money on them.
Whether you know it or not.
Whether you've known it or not.
Yeah, the basic idea of a loot box is basically, think of a cosmetic item in a game. Maybe you get something to make your character look different or make one of your weapons look different.
You get bunny ears for your character.
Sure, whatever it happens to be. But the idea is you don't just get to say, I want bunny ears for my character.
Come on.
You buy a box that might have bunny ears for your character.
The best example here is, and I know that we've probably all done it when we were younger, and I know that my dad did it, sports cards packs.
Any kind of trading cards.
Except none of these are going to be worth money.
You have a random chance to be able to receive something. A lot of times it's cosmetic. That's what a loot box is.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that there are some video game companies that are actually now concerned about the FTC getting involved and are trying to get out ahead of this.
So the FTC launched a workshop, basically inviting people to Washington to speak on the topic of loot boxes, major publishers, the ESA is there, professors and educators are there, and industry lobbyists are there as well, all kind of discussing the loot box controversy that's been plaguing the gaming industry for what seems like an eternity at this point, but it's only actually been, what, a year and a half?
About that.
About 18
months, sounds about
roughly.
Right. Yeah.
So what's basically going on out there now is Nintendo, Microsoft and Sony, the three largest console developers in the world at this point, have all banded together and said that any future game or update to a game that introduces a loot box mechanic will require transparency on the probabilities of getting the various items in the loot box.
Okay, all right. So it first has to disclose the potential items that you can receive.
Correct.
So you're seeing the entire, if you will, loot pool of the loot box.
Exactly. What you could get in the loot box.
And on top of it, it goes as far as to say that they are going to disclose the probability of each item. So up front, you will know which items you have the probability of getting and what that probability is.
And this is the thing I'd really like them to kind of double down on that promise, because the way it's worded, or the way at least I've read everyone reporting on it, suggests to me that you could also just say this is your percentage on legendaries, percentage on rares and whatnot, and what makes up each of those categories.
Sure.
I would like it to specifically say, no, this is the percentage of each item in there.
Well, the thing is certain games like FIFA 19 already do this, because their hand was forced by the European Union, so they had to disclose these odds. The problem is, though, is that fundamentally doesn't really change the issue. It doesn't really solve the problem of, you know, microtransactions and loot boxes in their quote-unquote addictive nature. That doesn't do anything. If I tell a kid you got a 2% chance to get a legendary footballer,
so you're telling me there's still a chance!
That's what it does.
Well, especially if you need that player for your team.
Exactly. So, I mean, if anything, knowing the odds in a way only just kind of creates a different motivation.
I got to tell you, in some ways, I think that could actually make it worse. Like, if I know that I have a 2% chance of getting this guy, I can think in my head, cool, if I buy 50 loot boxes, by the odds, I should get one.
Speaking of transparency, you know who I really have to tip my hat to who took that very literally? Is that Epic in Fortnite now have introduced an X-ray pinata, or the X-ray llama, where you can actually see, if you buy this box, this is what you're getting.
And
if you choose not to, you can come back the next day and they'll have refreshed into new stuff.
Well, and it's worth noting, too, that as much as maybe you're not happy with, you know, Nintendo and Microsoft and Sony kind of getting into the party a little late on this, I mean, Psyonix this week announced that Rocket League's doing away with their loot boxes.
And they have also
crates.
Just recently, you know, in the past few months, been obtained by Epic.
Yeah.
I have to wonder how they're going to monetize. Is it going to be just a straight one-to-one microtransaction?
Why wouldn't it be?
See, that's my thing, is that to me is way more upfront. But I think the concern there is what you see in games like Fallout 76, mm-hmm. where you're starting to see, you know, you've got power armor skins that are for sale for $16 in some cases. That's completely...
But let me stop you there.
It's ludicrous. I've paid it, but it's ludicrous.
Yeah, let me stop you there. Joe, what's the most expensive skin in League you've bought?
Pulsefire, Ezreal, or Elementalist Lux, and those were each like $30.
Whoa!
Yeah, those were.
People will buy it.
I know. I bought the $26 Free States bundle for $76. I get it. It's just I'm not totally sure that this gets it across the finish line when it comes to, are we being fully transparent? But you know, with the chances and everything, Joe, I'm with you. We need to see per item what the chances are. I don't know if that's going to make it any better or not, but I do think it's much more honest to say, here's the item, here's its cost, even if it's inflated.
Well, and to that point, Nate, I mean, look no further than China for your proof of this, because in China for a long time, they've been required to disclose the probabilities on loot boxes, and mm-hmm. guess what? Loot box and microtransaction sales in China are larger than anywhere else in the world.
Exactly.
That's clearly not curbing people from doing it.
People still want to buy these things. And Nate, to the point that you were making about Fallout 76 and how they have so many things on there, I think that where it comes into is the player has to have a choice. I can't go into a game and feel like if there's something that I want, the only way to get it is to put money down. I'm investing my time into your game, and there has to be some sort of mechanic or some sort of system that rewards you with currency, like League does, or like Overwatch does to an extent. The more I play, the more chances I will
exactly.
have to buy what I want.
Exactly, but that's the issue. A game like FIFA, you cannot be competitive unless you're spending money. Disclosing the odds on the loot box does not change that core mechanic. That's the bigger issue here.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, eSports, and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about loot boxes. The issue, as Reardon said once again, gaming companies are getting out in front of this by starting to disclose the chances of you know, the types of items or per item that you get out of the loot boxes. And listen, I'm with you. I don't know if this totally satisfies all of the critics out there.
Yeah, Michael Warnicki, who's a member of the ESA, he actually defended the practice of loot boxes in a broader sense, though he praised the decision by Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, adding that many of the members within the ESA banner have agreed to similar policies at the publisher level. And I'm telling you, like, when we look back on this in 10 years, I feel like we're going to say this was not enough. It's not going to curb the problem. Norris, you're talking about FIFA and EA. At the end of the day, it needs to be a storefront model. That needs to be the way. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's the fundamental thing that has worked for thousands of years in society. You walk into a store, you see something you want to purchase, it has a price tag next to it, and you buy
it.
And Nate, even if, you know, it's a $16 power armor that is obscenely expensive, hey, if someone wants to spend $16 and they know they're going to get
their right.
That's their right to do it.
Sure. If there are people who want to spend, I don't know, $2,000 on building the best FIFA team in the world, then I think that is your right.
But to your point, though,
yeah,
this is where I see the conversation becoming way more difficult. The sale becoming way more difficult is when we start to attach mechanics to a price tag. When we start to attach, you know, we call them pay to win mechanics.
Yeah, and that's why pay to win is a bad design.
Well, pay to win works with loot boxes because there's that random chance. You feel like it's a loot pool in there, but it doesn't work when it's a one-to-one transaction, because then it just looks like, oh, you're paying for a power-up. I think that's a non-starter.
I don't think it's a non-starter when people will do it.
Do you really think people would do it?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. If you give people the choice to say, you know what, I could drop 500 bones on this game right now and have the best team in the game or the best items in the game, people would do it.
Because there's probably people who have dropped more than that and still don't have the best.
If you could drop $50 in Final Fantasy XI to have a Kirin or so, you think people wouldn't have did it?
Well, I can tell you the people did do it. They just did it against the terms of service. But I would have believed that like 5 years ago. I would believe that's the case. But we saw with Battlefront that the idea of locking game valuable items, not just aesthetic things, behind a paywall and behind loot boxes can go very badly.
Exactly. And especially when we're talking about a one-to-one business transaction, mm-hmm. that's so much easier to call out. Maybe in an environment like FIFA that is its own kind of bubbled-in environment, but I just don't see the wider game population that's okay.
There are people who would do it, mm-hmm. but there's more people that would decry the company. It would be a bad decision.
Maybe. I think you guys are giving people way too much credit. I think the desire to want to be better and have the shiniest and best of all the skins or all the things is a much, much more stronger base level desire than the desire to have a fair and just video games environment. I'm sorry.
Do you agree with Norris? We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we're going to see how Joe and Norris enjoyed SmackDown last night. But ahead next, what would you tell your past self? Stick around. We'll explain what we're talking about ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
If you were a time traveler and you could talk to your past self, what would you tell yourself? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes, Tali and Fritz. And now I've got a new emote as well. You can check all that out over at our Twitch page, twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. All right, so Joe, you came up with this idea. So why don't you explain to everyone how this is going to work?
For sure. So here's the idea. If you could go back in time and talk to yourself and give them three pieces of information, what would those pieces of information be? With the caveat that they have to be gaming related. Obviously, you can't go back in time and say, hey, you know, make sure you bet on the Lions to not win a game this year or whatever it happens to be.
Or bet on the, you know, lottery ticket.
Exactly. Or lottery ticket numbers. Yeah, nothing like that. So you can go back in time, give yourself three pieces of information.
Sure.
One of them is to give them a warning. One of them is to troll them. And one of them is to give them hope for the future.
Okay.
So those are the three pieces of information that you need to give your past self. Robbie, let's say we're going back to It's a good age.
1999.
The golden age.
The golden age.
December 31st, 1999.
I want to start
literally the day before Y2K. I like it. Yeah, yep. We'll go there.
And I want to start with the trolling one because that's the most fun.
Okay.
All right. So I go back and I would tell myself that the Final Fantasy series ends in 2 years. Final Fantasy X in 2001, that's the last one.
Yeah, okay.
There's no more after that.
So when your past self then hears that 11 and 12 are coming out, he's going to be all excited, like, oh, my future self was wrong.
Oh, he's going to be in for a bad time.
Only then to find out how right you actually were.
Dang.
All right, I like that. Norris, do you have a thought on what you might tell your past self to troll them a little bit?
Yeah, I'm going to tell them that they should really invest in getting better at fighting games because there's going to be tons of money in it.
I mean, not technically wrong, just in terms of scale.
Yeah,
not totally,
not terribly. Yeah.
Your warning should be though that Farming Simulator has more money.
Ouch!
You're not wrong.
Ouch! All right, so if I could go back and troll myself, I think I would tell myself that the 1.0 launch of Final Fantasy 14 is going to change your life. Make sure you take all your vacation time for it. Not just some of your paid vacation time. Take
all of it.
You'll be it's going to change your life. I guarantee it. And it did change my life, but I was kind of pissed.
Joe fades from existence back to the future style.
So 1999, right?
Yeah.
I would have been 16 years old.
Yeah.
No, I would have been 15 going on 16.
That's right.
Would have been my freshman year in high school. And I would have said, hey, buddy, you know that chat room that you're really into, that Active Worlds? That's going to change the world. Get really into
it. Get deep into it.
Start programming for it.
You got to help me.
And don't stop.
You got to help me with Active Worlds. What was Active Worlds?
I
was only 10.
Was Second Life before Second Life?
Except
it didn't allow you to program comically large phalluses or really any kind of genitals.
Really anything that someone would actually be entertained by.
Yeah, sure.
Well, no, I mean, it was just it was a very simple early 3D chat room. All it was.
All right, Robbie.
All right, so
if you had to go back and warn yourself about something. What's your warning to
my
your
warning
past self?
Is seriously, don't buy anything after Final Fantasy X. The MMOs are fine. Don't buy another Final Fantasy game after 10.
But 10's the last one.
That's right.
He's going to be confused.
Your past self is going to be super confused.
So confused.
And really angry with you about 4 years later.
Yeah.
All right, Norris, if you go back and give yourself a past video game warning, what would it be?
This one's the toughest one for me. I would have to say I would go back in time and tell my past self not to buy any Final Fantasy past 10.
You see? There's wisdom there.
I guess 11's
going to be okay. 12 you're going to be pretty disappointed by. But
it's all downhill from there.
I would like to warn my past self that 11 will could be the reason you drop out of college.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's not okay. So if I could go back and warn my past self, you know what? No, straight up, everyone you love in gaming is going to hurt you. Don't love anymore. It's not worth it. But future me, what about Square? No, they're going to hurt you. But future
they're
me,
gonna
what about Bethesda?
The
no, they're going to hurt you. But future me, Blizzard's incredible.
Your past
even
gonna
they're
like,
going to hurt you.
Your past me is going to be like, what about Square? Yeah, Square Enix too. Square Enix? They make Dragon Quest! What are you talking about?
All right, Nate, you got to go back and give yourself a past warning something. What are you warning yourself about?
Start saving your money now, because at some point you're going to want to invest it in a whole bunch of digital items that you think right now don't have any value.
Oh,
but they have so much value.
That sounds more like your troll. Jeez. No, actually, I will say that a good warning for everyone might be like, hey, the microtransaction thing, it's happening whether you like it or not. I'm warning you, just get ready, don't resist.
Or just don't. Like, just get comfortable with like default boring vanilla character.
Because
the quicker you get used to that, the easier this all becomes.
They're gonna be like, what's microtransaction?
Oh,
like,
oh God,
you sweet summer child. Okay, Robbie. This is a tough one. Now you have to go back in time, and after you've trolled them, and after you've warned them about all the horrible things that are yet to come, what are you going to say to give them some hope?
This was really hard because I don't know that I have a whole lot of hope right now. And I think that says just a lot about our generation in particular. But what I ended up coming up with was what I would tell them is that at least, you know, you get to grow up knowing that our children are going to live in a world of gaming that is far more accepting and far better than what we had to grow up with.
So, yeah, kind of suggesting to them, like, hey, you know all the crap that you have to put up with in school right now? Next generation doesn't have to put up with any of it. Only you have to suffer. No one else.
Also, Blizzard's going to be cannibalized by Activision. So,
Okay, that's not going to give them a lot of hope, but all right.
No.
Here's what it's a hope slash warning slash piece of advice. I would tell them they should get their buddies together and they should really, really learn a game coming up called League of Legends. And they should call their team Team Liquid. And their logo and should look like a horse.
And you should trademark that now.
Don't invest in Echo Fox.
You should trademark it now. No, you should trademark it now. And there's going to be a basketball player who's going to seem really, really far and removed from you. Will have nothing to do with this. And his name will be Rick Fox. And what you want to do is make sure that he doesn't invest in you.
Oh no. What are you saying to inspire hope?
You know what? I'm going to tell you that, okay, even though I just told you that all the big companies that you love are going to hurt you, the indie scene in the early to mid 2010s is going to be incredible. Indie games are going to take off in a way that you cannot imagine. And when your friends tell you to play Undertale, do it when they tell you. Don't wait 3 weeks. Just play it immediately.
No, you could wait 3 years for all I care.
I think what I would say, because at 16, I wasn't so totally focused on video games.
Yeah.
I was much more interested in being a musician and being in bands.
Oh, you would tell yourself to stop doing that immediately.
No, I would just say, listen, video games are going to change your life. Oh. You don't know how, but they're going to change your life.
That's so cute.
We want to hear from you. What would you tell yourself if you were a time traveler and you got to go back and troll them, give them hope? And what was the third one?
Give them a warning.
Give them a warning. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get Norris and Joe's thoughts on last night's SmackDown performance. Stick around. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP Daily podcast from B-Pod Studios. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on this very radio show as a daily podcast. Subscribe at our website, CheckpointXP.com. Or at bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Last night, I don't know why I'm trying to format this like we would do it for the national show.
I don't know either.
But last night, Joe and Norris got to go out to see WWE SmackDown.
We did.
Robbie is throwing a tantrum.
Robbie's having a hissy
wrestling
fit over there.
Yeah, what's your problem?
Wrestling, guys, for real.
Yeah, we were there last night.
We actually were physically there.
They were there.
And yet Nate probably still watched more of it than you did.
It's true, well, because actually, we couldn't see the ring.
By virtue of many things, that's actually probably accurate, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, so you guys got to go out to the Little Caesars Arena to go check out the last SmackDown before SummerSlam.
That's right.
Yes.
And Robbie, you are correct. I was watching at home. I did not attend. I do want to thank, first of all, we do have to thank Austin Creed
Friend of the show
for hooking us up with tickets. Got 5 tickets. I decided kind of last minute that I didn't want to go. You were able to take your brother.
I was.
Who's training to be a professional wrestler.
Yes, that's right.
He is, so did he, nursing an injury right now as well.
Did he have fun? Did he have a good time?
He did have a good time.
How were your seats, by the way?
Okay, so that's the one thing I want to, you know, sort of, you know, talk about first. We have floor seats.
We did. We were about 3 or 4 seats away from the railing by the entrance ramp.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow. Okay.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that I didn't see you on TV, actually.
We were not on camera side.
Oh,
okay. We were on the other side.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I will say this. In almost every arena in America, they would be incredible seats. Not just good seats.
Incredible seats. Sure.
Little Caesars Arena has one major flaw.
What's that?
That only shows up in the wrestling context. It doesn't show up in basketball.
Any other thing.
The way they do their Jumbotron, it's that large square that kind of goes around the outer rigging.
Yeah.
Which means if you're on the floor and not in the stands,
you can't see it.
You look up and all you see is the undercarriage of it.
Yeah.
Which means that if you can't directly see what's going on, you can't at all see what's going on.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, at a lot of wrestling matches or a lot of wrestling shows, that wouldn't be a huge problem because a lot of the action would happen in the ring.
Sure.
But we are in the Eric Bischoff era of SmackDown where nothing happens in the ring ever.
No. So watching at home, I could not help but notice the stink of Eric Bischoff all over this show.
And as it turns out,
I was going to say fingerprints, but that was too nice.
No,
too
stink diplomatic. Is the right word. The odor of Eric Bischoff.
Ode to Bischoff.
Yes. Now, and you see it with things like Roman Reigns almost getting hit by a car or getting crushed underneath production equipment. Very Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, it's actually more Vince McMahon's fault, because for the 3rd SmackDown in a row, allegedly, he has rewritten the entire show 2 hours before it went on the air. In fact, last week, I'm told, he was writing hour 2 while hour 1 was being performed.
Really?
Correct. Now, Robbie, you have some experience in acting.
Sure. And,
what would you think if they decided to scrap the script and rewrite act 2 in the middle of act 1?
That I'd be improvising a lot of it.
Yeah.
It seemed a lot like that.
It's kind of what the show
it seemed a lot like that. Here was the big issue that we had. I was able to take my girlfriend. It was her first experience with wrestling.
It was Sarah's first live experience wrestling as well.
So she was she went in with an open mind. I'll give her that.
Yep.
It was very difficult really to get full enjoyment of the show because so much was happening in the backstage area and, you know,
off to the side of the ring
or whatever. So we found ourselves.
The biggest high spot of the night probably was Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens going at it and destroying the announcer's table,
which was completely out of our
view.
Hold on. Shane, was he the one that where his entrance looked like he had nerve damage in his hand? And
yes.
He just kept?
Yeah. He's the one who does the Shane O'Shuffle on the way
out. That is.
I'm sorry. It has a name.
Yeah,
that unfortunately, it does have a Shane. Yeah.
It looked like he was having a stroke.
Yeah, and it has looked that way since he started doing it in 2006.
Since the very first time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
when did he show up? 2002.
No.
Early 2000s, right?
It was the corporate era.
It had to have been the corporate
because he owned WCW. Wasn't that the bit?
Yeah, that was the bit.
Yeah, so it had to be 2001, 2002.
I don't remember because I remember him.
He was around before.
Yeah, like
man.
I remember him being. Yeah, I remember him being on Raw and sort of like in the group of cronies that Vince McMahon would surround himself.
Well, yeah, because he can't hit the Mean Street Posse was his stable.
Yes,
that was Shane's stable.
Has he always looked like Tim Allen's rival from Home Improvement?
No, he always
Bob
looks
Vila?
Like
yes.
miniature Vince McMahon, which is exactly what he is.
Yeah, I mean, he used to, he looks like, he just looks like the saddest Gen Xer left. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? He just looks like someone's uncle that no one likes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I will say this, and it sounds like we're being very down. When Action decided to, you know, when they decided to actually wrestle.
Both times.
All two times. It was pretty great.
What matches did we actually? We saw Sami Zayn and Aleister Black.
Yep. That was really good.
That was actually, that was supposed to be a SummerSlam matchup.
Aleister Black.
I don't know what happened.
Immensely talented guy. I think his gimmick is trash.
With the stupidest gimmick on the planet.
Yeah, I think his gimmick is whack. And I think when he's wrestling, if he wrestles somebody who was actually really good and really great, I think that would be one of the most entertaining matches. He's very talented.
I've seen him a couple of times in NXT and thought he was very good. Yeah. But I think his gimmick sucks. His gimmick is so stupid.
We saw Dolph Ziggler and Ali fight.
Yeah.
That was...
Okay. But Dolph Ziggler came out making fun of
Goldberg.
Yeah, doing Goldberg's entrance.
Yeah.
And then we saw the best match of the night, the New Day versus Daniel Bryan and Rowan.
Which was actually a legitimately good match that had a finish.
It did.
Yeah.
It was a whack finish. Garbage finish.
Whenever it ends on a count out or interference or, you know,
or DQ from weaponry.
Yes. It's just such a lame, way to do it.
But I want to give props to the four of those guys. Cause that match
was phenomenal.
The whole time we're in there, Latasha's sitting there, my girlfriend, she's sitting there and she's like, this is the stupidest thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
She's not upset. She's looking at it as an experience, but experience that happens to be not very enjoyable.
But an experience that she probably only wants to have once.
Exactly. The New Day match happens, and she's like, "This is." I saw her a couple times go like during some of the spots. She's like,
and Sarah, to her credit, Sarah definitely popped a couple times. A couple of the dives over the ropes, the second rope moonsault that happened. She popped for those moments. So
yeah,
and I'll tell you what you want to talk about the importance of always giving your best match whenever you can.
Yeah.
205 Live happened afterwards, and 205 Live was an objectively better show, despite the crowd being dead and half of them being gone at that point. But the first match was like someone who's with Grand Metal League's Posse. I can't even remember what his name is. And Humberto Carrillo, who I've never heard of in my entire life.
Yep. But what a great name.
What a name. At the end of that match, Sarah nudges me and goes, "Who's the guy in the purple again?" And I'm like, "Humberto Carrillo." And she's like, "He's my favorite guy I've seen tonight." And I'm like, on a night that had people like Xavier Woods and Daniel Bryan in the ring,
the 205 Live guys.
It was a guy who was curtain jerking for freaking 205 Live, who Sarah walked away. He's my favorite. I want to see more of him. I'm like, there it is.
You can't even buy a shirt for him.
I told you.
We'll go by the merch stand, but I guarantee you there ain't one there.
Cruiserweight. I told you, man. Cruiserweights, man. Cruiserweights get people in the door.
See, here's the thing, though, and I'm glad you kind of brought this up, is that I think that this is sort of the equation that AEW is starting to figure out, that it's not one type of wrestling, it's not one type of person that's going to get people through the door, and that for as much as Jim Cornette wants to down on AEW, there is a much more old-school wrestling approach and appeal that's happening with AEW.
Well, because they wrestle.
That's the main thing. They actually wrestle. A backstage spot where you throw someone around the locker room is awesome when it's surrounded with seven other wrestling matches that night.
Exactly.
But when our night is three wrestling matches, two of which ended in disqualification, and then five backstage segments, I don't need that.
Listen.
Why choose to go to the arena at that point?
By the way, can we never, ever get another backstage segment with Roman Reigns ever again?
I could just end that segment. Can we never get another segment with Roman Reigns?
Listen, I don't want to jump on the Roman Reigns hate train because it's such a big train.
It is a big train.
I understand why people don't like him. I want to like Roman Reigns, especially after the makes it so hard. I agree.
I just want a big shoot moment from Roman Reigns where he just stops giving a fuck. about everything.
That's what I want. That's what Roman has never really had, or at least I've never seen him have, is he's never had a real heel turn so that when he turns back face, people are more
ready
endeared
to like him.
Yes.
Remember, like, Daniel Bryan was kind of over, but then he did the whole no thing, and then he went to Team Hell No with Kane, and then the face turn again.
And then the face turn, and then
it was massively over.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. And now, and by the way, can I just say, WWE, way more Xavier Woods and Daniel Bryan in the same ring.
Yes, please.
Dude, that was awesome.
That was great.
That was awesome. Those two dudes work so well together. Big E is just enough. Actually, that spot that Big E did with Daniel Bryan, where they're trading off with like arm locks and stuff like that, and ended with the power bomb.
Yeah,
that was probably the best spot of the whole night.
It was great.
Yeah. It was a great spot.
It was great. So, if you're listening, WWE, more Xavier Woods and Daniel Bryan in the ring together.
Yes.
More Aleister Black against other people. More
Get
wrestling.
Get rid of that gimmick. Hang on,
more
I got
wrestling
a question.
In general.
I got a question. What do you guys make of Bray Wyatt's new gimmick?
Oh, the children's TV host who's
psychopath.
Well, because I had somebody describe it to me, you know, because I asked them about it, and they're like, have you ever seen Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I've seen that. I f***ing loved it. And they're like, it's kind of like that. And I'm like, and then when I saw it, I was like, that's a very pale imitation.
That's the thing, is like, I love the concept of this gimmick.
Sure.
The execution sucks.
I agree with
like,
that.
The cuts to like the demon face and everything.
It's,
like,
it's too on the nose.
It's super on the nose.
Yes.
And they're too, the cuts are too long.
I do like the demon getup, though.
It looks cool. The dreads and everything.
Listen, I would much prefer if it's just the little... I think cutting promos of it takes away all the luster. I think if you just start having really weird, cutesy things just pop up around the arena and stuff...
That did start happening.
I know. I'm saying,
yeah.
You start doing that. Don't do promos. I'd rather just don't do the promos. Don't do the promos at all.
No, I think the promos are okay. I like what they did where you'd start like seeing the doll in like a scene here or there, or like you'd see the buzzard's head somewhere, and it sort of like led to little like Easter eggs like that. And I think that part of it is really cool. But like the video that they showed last night especially with cutting to the demon, like I think especially because his opponent is Finn Balor,
who is the demon.
Exactly. This could have been used as a way to antagonize Finn way more directly,
right?
And it's almost just left out there, like, hey, you're supposed to put the puzzles together.
And here's the problem. Once again, the only way that this story makes any sense is for Bray Wyatt to just lose again. You cannot have him go on and do a better demon character than Finn Balor, whose gimmick is the demon,
which is a great gimmick.
Finn Balor's
gimmick.
Oh my god,
I love that gimmick because he never does a promo of it.
Exactly,
he is the demon literally for his entrance and when he wrestles major matches, and that's it.
I like that.
That's why I like that gimmick.
I like it because it's limited.
I just think it's hokey. I mean, like, I think
less hokey than the Bray Wyatt thing.
I mean, I don't mind hokey. I love
the Wyatt
family.
No. That's the thing, is I think Bray Wyatt is,
guys. I'm just gonna go ahead and go home.
Yeah,
bye,
you can go.
Why are you still here? Go.
Goodbye.
It's cool.
Wow.
You can go.
Okay.
Dang, we sit here talking about wrestling, and you want to come in with all this negativity.
I just.
Goodbye.
Okay. All right.
Goodbye.
See ya. Bye.
Goodbye.
I think a little bit of hokiness is fine with the Bray Wyatt gimmick. I don't know that it works the same for Finn Balor.
Finn Balor is also just absurdly talented.
He is so good. And that's the thing, is that my opinion of Finn Balor, he's so talented, he doesn't need the demon gimmick.
He doesn't need it, but I think his brand is expanded and is way better because of it.
I go back to his time in New Japan and, you know, working before he got to WWE. I honestly don't like WWE's overuse of it because, like, for when he was elsewhere, he used it in all of those other places he's
been. I know.
But it was super rare to see it. It was literally like you had to antagonize the hell out of him.
It was,
and when you got the demon... your number was up. It was like The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Exactly. Yeah. And
that's what I loved about it. But
it was like his break.
WWE uses it too much.
Yeah.
I agree.
They always have.
So AEW, we found out that they're going to be doing road shows with their weekly show.
Yeah. So the second show has been announced for Boston and the third show for Philadelphia.
Is really cool.
So they are traveling on a weekly basis.
That is so cool. I cannot wait for this to start.
The difference is they're not doing 8 house shows a week.
Yeah.
A concept. Maybe you guys rest a little bit.
Yeah. So they're doing they're doing TV performances and pay-per-views, and that's it.
Yeah. And
Smart. Why would... Hang on.
There was a time when I understood it. There was a time I understood house shows in WWE.
Sure.
They sold out.
Yeah.
But I was at SmackDown last night, and that place was half full.
Yeah. See, you don't need house shows for WWE.
That era
at all.
Has passed
it
for you.
Is. Yes. And you're overworking your talent, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Like, come on. I think it's unfair to expect these guys to be able to work 5 days out of the week. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I completely agree. Yeah. When, there's a reason you have a go-home show. It's... like, to give people time to rest for SummerSlam? No. Divide your roster. You have enough people to divide the roster.
Yes.
Mondays and Tuesdays for Raw and SmackDown. And then you take the rest of the week off.
Yeah.
You know, you tell me you can't fill that up with press appearances and fan meet and greets.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't need to wrestle.
Come on.
Go do more fan meet and greets.
Did you see...
WWE is better than any company in the entire world at promotion.
Oh, yeah.
They're incredible. Like, I will never give them a hard time about their promotion because they're incredible at it.
Totally.
But... Let them go rest.
Our good friend Jello from the Jello Show, he actually got to hang out with Charlotte Flair yesterday.
Who we got to see not wrestle yesterday.
Yeah. and they were at like a Cricket Wireless store, and you should have seen the line down the block.
Yep.
And that's actually not fair. We did get to see Charlotte wrestle. She was in the dark match main event with Bayley.
Oh,
that was the dark match.
That was the dark match?
The dark match main event was...
Come on.
Bayley versus Charlotte for the SmackDown title. By the way, no one thought that the belt was about to change hands. Right. I don't know why you bother making it for the belt.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, WWE.
Okay. By the way, also always appreciate a SmackDown where you don't get to see your champion. Kofi Kingston did not appear.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
That was amazing.
It was just a tape.
You know what the advertised dark match main event was?
What was it?
It was like Kofi Kingston and Samoa Joe versus like Randy Orton and someone else. And I'm like,
that would have been fun.
We stuck around to the end to see that main event. And I'm not saying I like both Bayley and Charlotte, but it's not the main event. I want to see Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Share your wrestling memory stories, whatever you want to share with us. Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And again, huge shout out and thank you to Austin Creed. I know we, kind of teased the SmackDown performance, but he was legitimately awesome.
He was none of our complaints, by the way. His match was great.
His match was phenomenal. And also, a really awesome dude hooking
great
us up
human.
With tickets. Thank you so much to Austin Creed. Make sure you go subscribe to the Up Up Down Down YouTube channel. And huge thank you to Kooky Persona, our producer, Christine Solis, who secured those tickets for us. Thank you so much for working so hard for getting that all together. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily. For more info on the show, links to articles in the Checkpoint XP podcast, then head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.